for us, that we may receive instruction and that we may fulfill God's calling, both as us as individuals and as a corporate body of Messiah. To God's name be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name, amen. As we continue through the book of Matthew, Matiyahu in the Hebrew, we're in chapter 25, and if you turn there with me to verse 31, as you're turning there, I'll give you a little background. There are times in the scripture when Yeshua speaks, we know it's truth that proceeds from his mouth, but many times it comes as shocking to those who have heard it for the very first time and us who have read it before and will be reading again today. There are certain aspects, because we don't see Yeshua as he truly is, our Lord God and Sovereign King. And that, yes, he's about, in the setting of this context, he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, our Pesach Lamb. But in this scripture here, it reveals him coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir, the inheritor of David's throne. So now let us begin. And the title of this message is this, very, very simply: Yeshua Knows His Sheep. And sometimes we get so focused on the sheep and the goats in this story, we don't fully understand what Yeshua was truly alluding to. Yes, it's speaking now of sheep and goats in this story, but there have been sheep and goats from the time when God first met our father Abraham and spoke to him. There were sheep and goats within his own household that would not walk and serve the living God. And so Yeshua is going to give us even more detail today on what these sheep and goats are and who they are. Let us begin in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, accompanied with his holy angels, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. The sheep he will place at his right hand, and the goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you whom my Father has blessed, take now your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you made me your guest. I needed clothes and you provided them. I was sick and you took care of me. And I was in prison and you visited me." Then the people who have done what God wants will reply. Notice that. The people who have done what God wants. They now speak, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and make you our guest, or needing clothes and provide them? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will say to them, "Yes, I tell you that whatever you did to the least things, for the least of the important of these brothers of mine, you did them for me." Then he will also speak to those on the left, saying, "Get away from me, you who are cursed. Go off into the fire prepared for the adversary and his angels. For when I was hungry, you gave me no food. Thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. A stranger, you did not welcome me. Needing clothes, and you did not give them to me. Sick and in prison, and you did not even come and visit me." Then they too will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, and a stranger, needing clothes, sick or in prison, and not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Yes, I tell you, that whenever you refuse to do it for the least important of these people, you refuse to do it for me." Then they will go off into eternal punishment, but those who have done what God wants will go to eternal life. In verse 25, 41 through 46, Yeshua's words are these: "Get away from me." Some see this as a primary reference to the judgment of the Gentile nations on the basis of how they treated these brothers of mine, the Jews. And if we would look at what Scripture says in Genesis 12:3, which is Bereshit, and this is what it says. Adonai is speaking. Adonai says to Avraham, I, Adonai, will bless those who bless you, Avram, and your descendants. But I, Adonai, will curse anyone who curses you, Avram, and your descendants. And by you, Avram, and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So these people had become a curse of their own doing by going against God's plan and not loving what was the apple of God's eye. Adonai commissioned Avraham and his descendants to be a holy and set apart, that is, kodosh, for his use. This defines the Abrahamic calling in which the responsibility of Israel and the Messianic Jews of today is to be a light to the nations, so that salvation is whom but Yeshua might be spread to the ends of the earth. Yeshayahu, as Isaiah says in 49:6, he, and his Adonai, has said, it is not enough that you are merely my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov, Jacob, and restore the offspring of Israel. I, Adonai, will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation, my Yeshua, can spread to the ends of the earth. So going on to Matthew 25:41, here is the judgment. Go off to the fire prepared for the adversary, Hasatan, and his angels. And to see that in its fullness, we look now to Revelation 19 and 20. And this is what it says. But the beast was taken captive, and with the false prophet who is in its presence, had done miracles which he had to deceive those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The beast and the false prophet were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So going on, and the final judgment of all humanity, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was hurled into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. Revelation 20:18 says this, the adversary who had deceived them hurled them into the, was hurled then into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented both day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20:11-15 declares this, next I saw the great white throne, and the one sitting on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and there was no place found for them. Verse 12 of Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened up and another book was opened, but the book of life and the dead were judged from what was written in the books according to what they had done. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead in it, death and Sheol gave up the dead in them, and they were judged each according to what he had done. Then death and Sheol was hurled into the lake of fire. This is the second death, which is the lake of fire. And verse 15, anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was hurled into the lake of fire. So you may think that by reading this out of Matthew 25:31-46, that Yeshua is speaking directly about this last white throne judgment, but he's not. Here we're going to receive clarification, the timing of this. Matthew 25:31 states this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, accompanied by his angels, he will sit on his glorious throne. It's not in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but is here on earth. Yeshua is descending upon the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split. He will go through the Golden Gate, which is on the outside. It is currently sealed on the outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And there he will go in there, and he will go upon the temple site, and he shall receive, reveal himself as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But before he starts his millennial reign, he has to separate the sheep and the goats. He has to judge the nations. And this is a time period that is yet to come. What time period are we talking about? But after the great tribulation. That's when he separates the sheep and the goats here. So going on to this. So when this judgment will take place, it will take place when the Son of Man comes in his glory. The only event in the future that can possibly be is when the Messiah Yeshua returns from heaven to earth to set up his throne in Jerusalem. This cannot refer to him as being seated at the right hand of Abba, Father God in heaven. It refers to the time after the seven-year tribulation, right before the thousand-year millennial reign of Messiah. Yeshua will come down from heaven with his angels, and he will set his throne in Jerusalem on earth and rule now for 1,000 years. And when he comes, one of the first things Messiah Yeshua will do will judge all the people who are alive at that time, who've been able to survive through the great tribulation. This is what the first part of Matthew 25, 32 reveals. The nations, all the nations will be assembled before them, before him. No one will be able to skip out upon this call. Think of this. Everyone that's living at that time will be then in Israel standing before the King in glory. And you know who's going to usher them and tell them that they need to come? But his holy angels are going to draw all the nations of the earth. And there are, if there are not planes enough, does not God have power to translate those that he's assembled before him? And cannot the holy angels take them and carry them in their arms? Because these are not angels the size of men, but these are even bigger than the giants. So let us go quickly now. And when he comes, one of the first things Messiah will do is judge all the people alive at that time. This is the first part of Matthew 25, 32. Although billions of people will die during the Great Tribulation, not all of humanity will be completely wiped out. There will be those who survive the tribulation, both saved and unsaved. All survivors will be gathered to stand before Messiah Yeshua. Messiah Yeshua wants to set up a perfect kingdom. And to do this, Yeshua must first separate his loyal subjects from those who have not been loyal to him. Yeshua wants to begin his reign with only those who will serve him in his kingdom within the nation of Israel. So Yeshua begins his judgment by separating now the sheep and the goats. Now the separation, Matthew 25, 32b through 33. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep he will place at his right hand, but the goats to his left. So the Gentile nations are now divided into classes of people, the sheep and the goats. He is able to instantaneously determine which are the sheep and which are the goats. Does not Scripture say, my sheep know me, for I am the good shepherd? They hear my voice and they know it. So continuing here, he divides them into these two groups. The sheep are put on his right hand of Yeshua and the goats at his left. We are not yet told what makes a sheep a sheep, why a goat is a goat, but Yeshua comes to explain this in the rest of our text. We are also told what happens to them. Yeshua explains to the sheep first in Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you whom my Father has blessed. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. How have they been blessed? By the salvation that they received. Continuing here. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you made me your guest. I needed clothes and you provided them. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. The sheep now are invited to inherit the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, all right, that has been prepared for them. Notice they are not invited to enter the kingdom of God in heaven, but they are to inherit it at a future time and receive great privilege and honor within the kingdom. See, this is a chronological order. There are many times when we read these scriptures and we get them all mixed up, all right? So Yeshua is speaking and giving the chronological order to who? To his 12 Talmudim who are where? On the Mount of Olives. Because the leaders of the Messianic community have to know the chronological order of all these things. So let us continue here. For this reason, this reward is because of the way they treated Messiah Yeshua during their life. They fed him food, They clothed him. They visited him in prison. Although these people are glad they've received such a wonderful inheritance, they nevertheless are confused. Why? Because Yeshua was not walking on the earth during the Great Tribulation. Okay? So they ask Yeshua what it really means. They're confused. Scripture in verse 37 goes on to say this. The people have done what God wants will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and make you our guest, or needing clothes and provide them? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? They had never seen Yeshua before, and they wonder, how could they have done all these things for him? Remember that these individuals have not been saved for a very long time. The absolute maximum that any of these believers, their baby believers, have been born again is about 7 years. But since the 144,000 Messianic Jewish evangelists from the 12 tribes of Israel, and some of you may be saying, well, doesn't it say that there are lost tribes? God knows where his people are. All right? He has no confusion. We may have confusion, but he has no confusion. And the revelation of who they are and their calling is in the future. So let us continue here. These Messianic Jewish evangelists, 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, really didn't get out until halfway through the tribulation. Most of these sheep have not probably been saved more than 3.5 years at this point. So they don't know scriptures very well, all right? They're baby believers in Messiah. They maybe don't know the intricacies of the biblical theology, and maybe they didn't have the luxury of studying scripture like we do. Why? Because they're trying to live by hand to mouth. Why? Because the anti-Messiah is in charge, and if you don't take the mark of the beast, you cannot buy, sell, or trade, okay? So it's just... They're being led by the Spirit, where to go, where to be, and they're in the process of sharing their faith, but they don't know if they're going to be turned over and martyred for their faith. This is what's going on here. So continuing here. This probably accounts for some of their ignorance of how they cared for Yeshua. So Yeshua tells them in verse 40, how they have done these things for him. In verse 40, it says this, the king will say to them, yes, I tell you, whatever you did these things for the least important of these, my brothers of mine, you did them to me. Who's he speaking of? His Jewish brothers and sisters that are alive during the tribulation. Yeshua says that when these people served his brothers, it was as if they were serving him. We must be careful to understand this accurately. We have all probably heard people use this passage to call us to acts of public service. We are told to feed the hungry because as we do that, it will be like we are feeding Yeshua. We are told to clothe the naked and to start a prison ministry because as we do this, we're doing it for Yeshua. But who are the sheep in this passage? They are some of the people who have survived the tribulation. They are some of those who had made it through the great tribulation. Yeshua praises them for their actions during the tribulation. Since we are not now living in the tribulation, this passage does not apply to us. But I say this to you, it applies to every generation who's ever lived on this earth, how the nations treated Father Abraham and his descendants, they will have to give an account for that. So let us now move quickly as we go forward. Nevertheless, these principles are within this passage. Even though it is not exactly parallel to our own situation, although this passage refers primarily to those living during the Great Tribulation period. So ask yourself this question. Am I meeting Yeshua's needs by meeting the needs of his Jewish brothers and sisters today? Yeshua teaches in Matthew 10:40 through 42, that whoever receives you in is receiving me, and whoever receives me is receiving the one who sent me, receiving the Father. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet, will receive the reward the prophet gets. And anyone who receives a tzaddik, which is a righteous person, because he is a tzaddik, which is a righteous person, will receive a tzaddik, righteous person gets. Indeed, if someone gives you a cup of cold water to any of these little ones, because he is my Talmud, my disciple, I tell you, he will certainly not lose his reward. Who's promising those words? Who's from whose lips are they? But Yeshua's. Now let us move quickly. We should all be involved in feeding the hungry and clothing the poor, giving rest to the weary and visiting those in prison or sick at home. Although the scripture truth of Matthew 25 is not talking about this, it's talking about the people who lived during the Great Tribulation and how they treated the Jewish brothers and sisters of Yeshua. Now, the seven-year tribulation is also known as Daniel's 70th week, in which Abba, Father God, completes his plans and his promises to the Jewish people of Israel. During that tribulation, Jewish people will be hated in general. And so I'm saying to you, so what's new? Mm-hmm. Continuing, and they will be despised and hunted and killed because they rejected the anti-Messiah as the Messiah, and they will reject him as the world ruler. While all the world embraces the anti-Messiah, the Jewish people reject him. Instead of all Israel now turns to believe in Messiah Yeshua as the promised Messiah. Out of millions of Messianic Jewish believers, 144,000 radical emissaries from the 12 tribes of Israel will go out with signs and wonders to take the good news to the ends of the earth. And they will complete the Great Commission. And that is this, to be a light to the Gentile nations. There will also be two witnesses who will challenge the world system and condemn the anti-Messiah as an even fraud. They will stir up so much trouble that eventually they will be assassinated and left on the street to rot, while the rest of the world celebrates their death. It'll be like New Year's Day global when they see these two prophets of God finally killed and silenced. But continuing here, the scripture says that after 3 days of death, they shall arise and they will hear the voice of the Father, and he'll say, "Now come up with me." And there are those that teach this, that they are Eliyahu, Elisha, and that it is Enoch. For who two other individuals? The scripture says this, it is for man, both man and woman, to die once and then do face what? But judgments. So think of the two people in Scripture that have not never died. How is God going to fulfill his word if that is not so? So let us continue here back to the message. But as those 144 emissaries of the tribes of Israel travel the earth, as they will face persecution and famine, danger, nakedness, and death, it will be like World War II when the people had to choose whether they would help the Jewish people or turn their backs on them. Here is the truth. Yeshua is Jewish. During his ministry here on earth, he was rejected and despised. During the tribulation, all of Yeshua's brothers and sisters who turn to him and recognize him as the Messiah, they will also too be rejected and despised. Nevertheless, they will go out sharing the good news. As they do this, they will be hunted down and imprisoned. They will be persecuted. Those who have jobs, they will lose them. Their homes and their possessions will be all taken away from them. Since they refuse to take the mark of the beast, they will be viewed as terrorists against the one world order, the one world governments. So continuing here very quickly. And they will not be able to buy or sell. Why? Because they don't have the mark. As such, many of them will go hungry, thirsty, and they will be poorly clothed. And Yeshua says here that if those living in the tribulation take care of his Jewish family, his mishpoka, in their time of need, then it is as if it is being done to Yeshua himself. And he's being taken care of by them. And for such compassion, these people receive now a great reward, these baby believers in Messiah from all the nations. Some people wonder how these sheep are able to provide for the Jewish emissaries and the Jewish people if only the people who can buy, sell is with the mark of the beast. In other words, if you can only buy or sell with the mark of the beast, only so that the Jewish believers cannot now buy or sell, then how is it that the sheep in this parable are able to buy or sell so that they can provide for the Jewish people? The only answer is this, that the sheep do not take the mark of the beast. But they will be people living during the tribulation who are not deceived by the power of the delusion, which is recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and who will not take the mark of the beast, which is revealed in Revelation 14, and it talks about in its entirety. Very likely, they will be those living in underdeveloped areas of the world where technology has not reached yet. These sheep, because they have not taken the mark of the beast, also because they live in areas not so completely controlled by technology as we are here in the West, will still be able to trade, buy, or sell with a limited capacity. Barter system still goes on today. People will do things for one another because they have gifts and talents. So continuing very quickly. So they will be able to take care of the Jewish emissaries because this they will receive great inheritance in the millennial kingdom. The opposite now is true of the goats. The goats in Matthew 25, 41 through 46. Then he will also speak to those on his left saying, "Get away from you, you who are cursed." Why are they cursed? Because they would not receive the blessing of God, which is whom? In no person but Yeshua. He is salvation. All right? That is their temporary state. Where were you or I before we came to Messiah? Lost in our sins. We were cursed. And how was their curse removed from our lives? When we received and recognized who Yeshua is in our lives. And so he says, go off into the fire prepared for the adversary and his angels. So this is a sentence that is being meted out to them, all right? It's being stated. Have you ever been before a judge? And he says, hey, you were speeding. You go in there, you argue the ticket, and they show the video, and they show the radar gun, and they show all this stuff, and there is beyond a shadow of a doubt evidence you are guilty as charged, right? Well, you're then sentenced, right? But that is what Yeshua is doing here. The goats have yet hope. Why? Because if you read the scripture very, very closely here, you'll notice that they're not being put to death. What is beginning here but the millennial reign of Messiah? So there is hope for them that after them seeing and hearing from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that you're cursed, isn't that not going to change your opinion on your own life? Is there not still hope of salvation? Scripture records that there will be people saved during the millennial reign of Messiah. So let us continue here. So there's hope for them, but there's no hope for the falling angels in Hasatan because there was no salvation prepared for them to receive. So now let us go quickly. So these goats are now unsaved survivors of the tribulation. They're the ones who took the mark of the beast and followed the anti-Messiah in his rebellion against Abba, Father God, during the Great Tribulation. They did exactly the opposite of everything that the sheep did. Yeshua explains this to them in Matthew 25, 42. For I was hungry and you gave me no food, thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink, a stranger who did not welcome me, needing clothes and you did not give them to me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Matthew 25, 44 records this. Then they too will reply, Lord. Notice now, the anti-Messiah has been taken out of the scene. He's been defeated. And they're staying before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is reigning from Jerusalem. And so they respectfully call out to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and stranger and needing clothes, sick and or in prison and did not take care of you? And he will answer them, yes, I tell you, whenever you refuse to do it for the least of these, my brothers, my Jewish brothers and sisters, you refuse to do it to me. Whereas the sheep receive the inheritance of the millennial kingdom, these goats receive only condemnation and eternal punishment. That's the sentence that is before them. It seems as if the sheep are sheep because they took care of Yeshua's Jewish brothers and sisters. But it is the opposite. These people took care of Yeshua's Jewish brothers and sisters because they were already sheep. And what do sheep do? The will of Abba, Father God. They hear the good shepherd's voice and they do exactly what he says. And what is that? To love what Abba, Father loves. To love what Yeshua, the great shepherd, loves. And who is that but the Jewish people? And I say this to you, anyone who is from the nations, you are grafted in. And when a Muslim terrorist receives Messiah, what happens? He falls in love with God. And God reveals him by the power of the Spirit of the living God that his grandfather wants him to love his cousins, the Jewish people. All right? And he is at peace with that because the Prince of all peace rules and reigns in his heart and mind. And so what Heidi was exhorting us to do today, to not look at Muslim people as enemies, but to look at them as simply people who are lost. And they need the veil of lies and deceit to be removed from their eyes so they can receive the great salvation that you and I have. So let us know, and I'll go quickly. They believed in Yeshua for eternal life, the sheep. And because of this, they obeyed God's word. And God's word said that they should and do and take care of the Jewish emissaries who had shared the good news with them in the first place. They owed these emissaries great things. Where would we be today if the 11 Talmudim, the disciples of Messiah, did not lay down their lives and proclaim the word of God? We would be still lost, and we would be a cursed people. I don't care from what tribe and nation you're from. You'd be a cursed people because you have not received Messiah. So continuing here, they had shared the good news with them in the first place. Their good works did not result from them having received eternal life, but because they performed these good works. They received the great reward in the millennial kingdom because of doing what the Father desired them to do. Now in closing, Yeshua will take all the people through time who have ever believed in him and allow them to be present their case before him. The book will be opened and they will be judged according to the impartial standard of the law or the Torah. Each will be found conclusively guilty who have not received him. There will be none that will be wrongfully accused or condemned. Even Hasatan and his angels will stand before the judge, Yeshua. This is at the white throne judgment in heaven after the millennial reign of Messiah. And all of them will be sent to the lake of fire where they will receive eternal punishment. Matthew 25 summarizes all this. They will all go into eternal punishment, but those who have done what God, Abba Father God, wants will go on to eternal life. So the question for all of us is this. Are you doing what Abba Father God wants you to do? Are you loving his people in his name? To God's name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let us now arise and receive the benediction.